patience. They've taught me how to be more patient. Before kids, I struggled mightily with patience.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by Codecademy. Codecademy has the goal to give anyone in the world the ability to learn the skills they need to succeed in the 21st century. They set out to create new interactive ways of learning, making it engaging, flexible, and accessible for as many people as possible. Their mission is to create a world where anyone can build something meaningful with technology. Everyone has the learning tools, resources, and opportunities to do so. Code contains a world of possibilities. All that's required is curiosity and the drive to learn. At Codecademy, they are committed to empowering all people regardless of where they are in their coding journeys to continue to learn, grow, and make an impact on the world around them. Make sure you go to artoffatherhood.net to check out my interview. Michael Cruz, who is a dad who lost his job in 2019, started with Codecademy to learn how to code and now has a job, and he's teaching his skills that he learned to his kids so they can learn to code as well. To learn how you can join the millions of people worldwide Codecademy has helped learn to code, go to Codecademy.com. That's Codecademy.com. What's up, everybody? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast online. I'm very happy to have Craig Melvin. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
I'm great, Art. I'm great. It's a shame you do a podcast and not a TV show. Folks should be able to see where you do this podcast. This is quite the setup.
Yeah, for my live shows and all that, I do have the backdrop, so that's why it's there. I'm looking forward to chatting with you about fatherhood, your new book. It's really good. It's especially great that it's released around Father's Day. It's called Pops. I love this title, Pops. Learning to be a son and a father. We're going to get to that, of course. And of course, your great career in a second. But I know you got two kids. I got two kids as well. I have two daughters, 13 and going to be 11 in July. Take me back when you found out you're going to be a dad. What was going through your mind, sir?
Oh, boy. My kids are 7 and 4 now, which it seems like so long ago when I found out. But never forget it. My wife coming home from work one day. At that point, she was hosting Sports Center, and she told me, and we rejoiced and celebrated, and then the same was true with my daughter a few years after that. But as you know, Art, I mean, it changes you in all the best ways. I would maintain, although I do find myself sometimes wondering now, what we were doing with all that free time we had. Like, it really is. You stop and think, like, wow, we were able to watch full movies uninterrupted. We could drink a bottle of wine on a Tuesday and think nothing of it. And now it's a lot of parenting now with my wife is logistics and operations.
Yeah, no doubt. Well said. Yeah, but let me give you a silver lining to that. Once they get to that, like my kids' age, like Friday night, you know, they'll be like doing stuff with their friends or watching a movie or watching, like, they're right now into, like, you know, a few Netflix shows and series. So my wife and I will go outside, have, you know, a nice beverage and just hang out. So there, you know, there's different stages that you're going to appreciate. There's going to be, like, obviously highs and lows for every stage of parenting. But when your kids get to be around my age, you and your wife, I'm like, hey, let's go outside. They're watching a movie. It'll just be us time. So you'll have uninterrupted, like, just parent, like, adult time.
I enjoy the stage, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Because my kids still talk to me and they still think that I'm smart and I know stuff. And I hear that in a few years, I'll be one of the dumbest people that they know. and they only grunt. I've been told when they want something. So I don't look forward to that stage.
There is going to be a little bit of that, but I think, you know, especially in your profession, communication is key, right? If you're open and talking with them and, you know, that you care about what they're telling you, I think you'll be fine, sir, from my own experience, just letting you know.
I like that. That's good advice, actually. Thank you.
No doubt. For everything that, you know, you and your wife, Lindsay, like you said, you know, she is, you know, it was on ESPN. Now she's doing still stuff in sports. You're doing stuff with, you know, the Today Show and a bunch of other things. Writing a book, hard work for you guys is a no-brainer for core values, right? Both of you live on hard work and determination. So besides those, talk about some of the other core values you're looking to instill into them.
Resiliency. I want my kids both to be able to climb mountains and deal with roadblocks and obstacles that invariably come our way in life. I worry sometimes that collectively we're rearing an entire generation of kids that aren't going to be able to deal with adversity as well as perhaps we were. But we work on that. We work on rearing children who are resilient. I also, both of my children, we spend a lot of time talking about empathy, and we don't use the word empathy with them because, you know, she's four, she doesn't understand the word, but the concept is important. Being able to put yourself in someone else's shoes, being able to understand why other people might do certain things or not do certain things or live certain ways. I think it's important for children to understand that at an early age. I think that a lot of the ills of society could be solved by people, you know, practicing a little bit more empathy.
Well said. Yeah, especially like past few years with everything going on. I 100% agree. And I think that we, and you guys are doing the same thing that we are. It's just like the golden rule, and just be there and look at someone's, you know, perspective, you know. And our kids don't have social media accounts. We're not giving them that. But like I said, like, if you, once you get them, once you're old enough and you feel like you can have them and all the other stuff, don't just retweet something or like start like disagreeing with someone right away. Like, understand that topic right before you get into it.
Right. There's nothing worse than ignorant opposition. And there's a lot of that. Unfortunately, become one of the defining parts of our time, I think. One of the defining things of our time. Just people being okay with ignorance. Being ignorant. Not ignorant in a literal sense, just not knowing.
Yeah.
But someone not knowing, not stopping them from talking about it or tweeting about it or posting about it.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't work on the electrical stuff in your house and be like, I see someone like retweet an article about this. I know exactly what I'm doing, right?
It's like, oh, all of a sudden you're an expert on economic theory. Wow, who knew?
And this is something that I always ask dads that come on the show, but this is something I think that you can tie in with your book, again, because I love the title, Learning to Be a Son and a Father. I think that when you look at yourself as a kid growing up and the lessons and things you've experienced as a, you know, as a child to now as a parent, we always thought like our parents had the answers, right? Then we get to that point where like, no, we don't. Our parents are faking it till they make it, right? So for you, what is something that your kids have taught you about yourself, about life in general?
Oh, patience. They've taught me how to be more patient. Before kids, I struggled mightily with patience. Part of it, I think, is related to what I do for work. I think some of it was just the way that I'm wired. And as you know, with kids, you don't really have a choice but to become patient, especially when they're younger. Like, it's rarely on your terms or on your time. Like, you work for them, and they make sure you understand that early on. And so they've taught me that. They've also taught me not to take myself too seriously. You know, I sometimes unfortunately have to deal with heavy stuff.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, I'm preparing for an interview with the president. I was going down to Washington to interview President Biden at the White House, and I'd never done an interview in the Roosevelt Room at the White House. So naturally, I was a little anxious, a little nervous about all of it. I'm trying to, like, you know, hunker down here in the basement to do my research, and my son keeps coming down. I finally explained to him. I usually don't tell him what I'm working on. I said, Doc, I've got to go down to DC in a couple of days to interview President Biden. And I was maybe expecting him to say something like, oh, wow, Dad, that's cool. And he's like, well, Dad, my switch is down here. Like, my switch, if you're down here getting ready to talk to President Biden. And I was like, it's portable. You can play it anywhere. It's called a switch. He's like, well, but no, I play it down here. And here I found myself in a debate with a seven-year-old about where he could play the switch that I bought in the house that I bought. I'm negotiating with him, and I'm trying to get him to understand. I'm preparing for this interview for the job. For all of this. he could not have been more indifferent. So, you know, I no longer talk about what I do for work with my children. I think it's good. Kids humble you, man. They humble you. With Al Roker recently, because, you know, Al's been doing it for 30, 40 years. He's got three kids. And he was telling a story about one of his kids calling him during the show. And he was like, you would think after 30 years that my kids know between 7 and 9, that's kind of out of pocket, doesn't stop them. And I said, well, you know, it's got to be cool, though, being an Al Roker's kid. Like, they get to come to all the shows and the concerts over the years. And he was like, man, my kids could care less. He's like, they, you know, if there's an artist that they're interested in, they might come. Or, you know, when the kids got older, you know, they'll ask you for tickets to SNL. He's like, but by and large, they could care less. And his son, he said his son will say occasionally, if he gets the forecast wrong, he'll say, hey, Dad, you know, I was watching Good Morning America, and they said it was going to be rainy, and look, it's rainy, and you said it's going to be sunny. And Roker's like, you know what? You can go live with it. You can go live there. You can go move in with them if you want. You're not going to be in the house disrespecting my forecast.
I love it. And also, too, I think just judging by, because we had the same cups, you are such living that fatherhood life, because you're like having one of those plastic cups, right? Right?
You know what? I didn't even realize it until you said it. Yes.
It's yes! It's
cars. It was my son went through a big Cars phase.
Yeah.
And so there's Lightning McQueen. There's Mater. Here's what happened. He had a birthday party. Not an exaggeration, probably 4 years ago. My wife goes out and she buys, like, you know, 100 of these cups. And
they're only 99 cents, so why not, right?
She goes and she buys 100 of them. The party's over, and she's got 75 cups left. And she wants to, like, get rid of them. I'm like, no. We bought these cups. I'm going to use these cups. I've been drinking out of Cars cups for 4 years.
My man, I'm drinking out of frozen cups still. Like Tinkerbell cups, I don't care. I'm still using those cups, man.
Falls apart. We'll be drinking out of it. That's how cheap I am.
That's a fatherhood move. I love it. One more question before we start going back into the book. And I think, you know, you said patience is one thing, but, like, give another piece of advice for new dads listening to this, like guys who either just found out they're going to be dad or are a dad, like just like the child was born like a few months ago or a month ago. What is one big piece of advice you'd like to offer them?
The child will tell you what it needs. The child, him or her, they will let you know what they need and don't need. And it took me a while to understand that. And as they get older, it becomes even more apparent.
No doubt. Love this book. I highly encourage people to purchase this book, Pops Learning to Be a Son and a Father. You're in the limelight, you and your wife's, you know, career, people see you and all that stuff. So it might not have been tough to like say like, oh, I'm gonna keep this private, keep whatever, but like, while you're writing this book, because you're talking about just things that like your relationship with your dad and just certain things that your dad had issues with and all that other stuff, and of course, again, you know, the keyboard gangsters reading this book be like, oh, Craig's, you know, talking about this and that. Like, for you, how tough is it to kind of be open and honest with everything that was going on, especially with your childhood and, you know, and sharing that with the world?
It was hands down the hardest thing that I've ever done. But I needed to do it. I'd gotten to a point in my life where I needed to unburden myself. I found it to be the most cathartic project I've ever worked on. And my dad wanted to do it. You know, my dad is he'll be 70 this year, and he talks now about having more days behind him than ahead of him. And when he got sober in 2018, he thought that sharing his story would do some good. And we initially talked about maybe just doing a story for the Today Show. And then after more conversations, sort of realized that the better way to use his story to inspire and uplift, the better way might be to write a book. And so that's kind of how the book was born. And it's a story about addiction. You know, he had twin addictions, alcohol, then gambling, but he battled it for more than 40 years, for four decades. My father couldn't get the monkey off his back, so to speak. And until 2018, we got him into rehab, And ever since, he's been a different man.
Yeah, it's just it's a great read, and the fact that you guys are working together on this is just phenomenal. For you, you know, sometimes when you're in it, you can't see the forest through the trees, right? But for you, while you're working on this book with him, and while you're just writing this out, what is something that you have learned yourself about, you know, your experience with your dad, and then also with your kids? Like, what are some lessons that you learned to be a better parent through this through writing this book?
I was hard on my dad, and I think a lot of kids are. I thought my dad was just a drunk. He was weak. If he really wanted to stop drinking, he could. The way that we view addiction now versus the way that we viewed it, you know, when we were kids, it could not be more different. You know, it was a sickness then, and now we realize it's a disease, and we treat it as such. Most people do, at least. But back then, that wasn't the case. So consequently, I was hard on him. And I've come to realize that a lot of dads are hard on themselves. I try not to be too hard on myself. I try not to focus on the soccer games that I miss because of work, or my daughter's dance class that I'll miss because I've got to travel for work. I focus on quality over quantity. And I also take some solace in the fact that, you know, I don't know about your dad, but, you know, my dad wasn't there physically pretty much all the time. Like, he if my dad was there, it was a big deal. Like, if it was a graduation or a wedding or a funeral or Christmas, like, he was around for the big stuff. He didn't do the in between. And so consequently, I'm there for a lot of the small stuff, because I want my kids to see me. I don't think that the memories are made on the big fancy vacations or Christmas morning. I think the memories are made in those small moments. You know, when you're driving your daughter to gymnastics and she says something that's so ridiculous that you lose it in the car, or you say something to her and she starts mocking you. I think those are the memories.
Yeah,
I work hard to create those memories.
Love it. Yeah, I wrote an article on my site just talking about sometimes being a taxi driver to and from different things are the best times you have these conversations with your kids. And one of the biggest things right now, especially during this pandemic, because we've been kind of, you know, doing the virtual school and all this other stuff, but my daughter's on, like, Friday night when we're after, like, dinner, if we're just hanging out, she's like, "Dad, tell us some stories of when we were kids." I'm like, "Well, first of all, you're still kids." They're like, "Just tell us some other stuff." And so they love to hear, like, when we were living in New Jersey and, like, the house and certain other things. So, and they say, "Oh yeah, I totally remember that." Or they'll chime in their remembrance of that story. So yeah, I think it's the little things, something that you might not even thought that was going to be, they were going to remember, but they do. And you're just like, cool. Yeah. So I totally agree with you. And again, I know, especially you interview so many people when they come out with music, movies, books. Art is taken in different ways from everybody. But for you, and maybe your dad, if you talked about this, what do you hope people will take away from this book after reading it?
I hope people take away this idea that it's never too late to start over. My dad was 67 years old when he checked into rehab. He had been battling the demons of gambling and alcohol abuse for, not an exaggeration, longer than I'd been alive. And he decided that was the time to start living anew, if you will. I want them to take that away, that it's never too late to start over. I also want people to understand addiction and the grip that it can have on someone, and how it can affect entire families, how it can really affect generations. But I also hope folks read it and come to better appreciate folks who are struggling with anything.
Yeah.
And for a long time, I didn't appreciate my dad's struggles. I just thought he couldn't hack it. Until I started writing this book, I didn't know he was born in a prison in West Virginia, that my grandma ran liquor and ran numbers. It was a bootlegger back in the 40s. I didn't know that my dad didn't even know who his dad was until he was almost a teenager. And the way that can affect you, it manifests itself in so many ways. And so it was wholly unrealistic to expect my dad to be the kind of father that I wanted and needed when he had seen nothing of the sort in his entire life. So, you know, I don't go around quoting Oprah a lot, but one thing that she said some years ago that's always stayed with me, when we know better, we do better, Art. And so, you know, I hope folks read the book and they take that away.
Love it. And it circles back to certain things that you and, you know, your wife are trying to teach your kids, empathy, right? Know what's going on, and love it. Two more questions. This is about your career, and then we'll go into the Fatherhood Quick Five because I know you're a very busy man. Today's show, again, you do great work. I know that you were interested in like just kind of like politics and doing stuff back in high school, different programs and all that. For you, you know, you're looking back so far on your great career, and like I love the fact you're like, yeah, I'm going to be interviewing President Biden. My son's like arguing about the switch, and that just brings it so down to earth. But like for you, what is something that you are very proud that you covered, or something that you've experienced in your career that you'd like, just one story, but like it's something along those lines that, you know, with your career so far, it doesn't have to be now, it could be when you started, whatever the case may be, you pick it. But is there something you'd like to share with me that you're very proud of?
I'll tell you, I was proud of, and you'll appreciate this being an aficionado of his tennis shoe. Last year, I spent some time with Michael Jordan. I sat down with MJ, and he was a childhood idol. Mm-hmm.
By the way. I saw it.
What you didn't see was the year and a half that I spent harassing the man until he finally relented. Finally gave in. He's like, fine, I'll do it. But I was proud of that because Jordan, first of all, didn't do a lot of interviews. But secondly, I was proud of the fact that I was able to keep my composure and I didn't completely fangirl for 20 minutes. So I was proud of that one.
Let me just say, like, as someone who books interviews, like, I love your, you know, your resilience to keep it going and to keep on pushing the goat. But for you to like say, you know, you're not like fanboying or fangirling out. I the only time I saw Jordan live was when he was back on the Wizards. I was living in Boston or New Hampshire. This is how old he was in, like, you know, when he came back to play for the Wizards. I was shaking my Kodak disposable camera, taking pictures of him shooting a free throw. And I was like, you know, at the close. So like, I understand for people who, you know, respected Jordan, and, you know, obviously that docuseries came out, but Jordan was the man. And just like my friend's like, are you going to take a picture? Because I was just like shaking. He's like, take a picture before we go somewhere. So I got to give you, I know it's your job, but still just for having Michael Jordan, you know, doing that interview, just wanted to share that.
No, I mean, listen, I can appreciate, I mean, there was, you know, in the 80s and 90s, and it sounds like we're almost of the same age. There was no one bigger. And I'm pleased to report that he is as cool in person as he has appeared on our television sets for the better part of 25, 30 years. I will say I talked to him before the Last Dance came out. And we spent some time talking about this Netflix series, and Jordan being Jordan was kind of downplaying it. And I said, well, what do you think people are going to walk away thinking about you? He said, oh, it's like, I think a lot of folks would probably think I'm an asshole. And then you watch the series and you're like, oh, that's why you that, like, you know. But his point was, and he went on to elaborate that, you know, back then, you know, you played to win. Like, it was all about winning.
Yep.
That was it. It was all about winning. And for him, he embodied that. And I think he thinks that today, for a lot of folks, it's about different things.
No doubt. And one more question before we get into the Father Quick Five. I'm guessing fatherhood has changed the way you look at just your career and just, I know we got, again, going back to the Biden thing, but just like how you approach work in the news and how you, you know, deliver it and all that and stories you want to talk about. I'm guessing fatherhood has definitely molded certain viewpoints about your, like what stories you want to talk about, correct?
Absolutely. It was one of the major reasons that a couple of years ago, we started a series on the show that typically twice a month, we'll do a story. And it's called Dad's Got This. And it's just a story where we showcase ordinary dads like me and you, who for whatever reason have been called upon to be extraordinary fathers. And it's become one of the highlights of my job, where we get to sort of essentially we're doing what you're doing with your podcast. We're trying to change the narrative about modern fatherhood. I still get annoyed, sometimes when I see the way that the dads are occasionally depicted on television, whether it's Peter Griffin or, Homer Simpson or, it's like, we're not oafs anymore. I profiled a dad this morning who's a single father of three because his partner had a massive heart attack like 7 years ago. So we're telling stories like that to try and change the way that people view what we do.
Well, I appreciate what you guys are doing because, again, you want to change that narrative. And it's that fine line where you just be like, oh, if you see a dad with the kids at the grocery store, you don't need to give them a gold medal. As opposed to, you wouldn't go up to like a mom and be like, oh, you're with your kids at the grocery store? Like, you don't need to do that with a dad as well. Just treat them equally, right?
I love it when you're out at a restaurant by yourself with your kids and they come out, it's like, oh my gosh, this is, it's like, wow, they're so well behaved. And look at you. Where's, occasionally I'll say, well, where's your wife? I'm like, you know what? I'm divorced. I don't have a single dad. This is how I live. And then one of the kids will say, You're divorced, you and mommy aren't married anymore. He's like, no, I'm joking.
Nice. Thanks, Greg. Now we got the Father Quick Five. Favorite family movie? I know it's tough to sit through on maybe Cars, but favorite family movie right now, what is it?
For my daughter, it hasn't changed, and it probably won't for a while. You mentioned it earlier. It's Frozen. It's Frozen. And for my son, it continues to be Hamilton. He discovered Hamilton during the pandemic and knows just about every single word to every single song.
Yep. That soundtrack is always playing in our household. Love it. Describe the family song right now, or is there a band you couldn't wait to introduce or an artist you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
The favorite family song right now is AJR. We love this song called Bang.
Bang, bang, bang.
But they're also at an age, Art, and you'll appreciate this, they're at an age where they don't just listen to the song once. They listen to the song 23 times. And I made the mistake, and it was truly a mistake. I made the mistake of buying an Alexa like during the pandemic. And so at any given point in during the day, it's like, Alexa, play Bang. And you go, oh my God. I go to sleep to Bang. I'm like, Alexa's tired, guys. No more Alexa.
Yeah, so, love it. And it's funny too, like I was, again, they're a little bit older, but they still want to hear songs on repeat. I said, you kids, you don't know the struggle. Back in the day, I had a cassette single. If I wanted to listen to the song, I had to hit rewind. And yes.
I had to wait for them to play your song. Yeah. Blows minds. What? The radio just played any song they wanted? And well, what did you do? You just sat and you listened.
Yeah. You waited. And shows were coming out every episode on a Friday. It was once a Thursday, and if you weren't there, you didn't get to watch it. So there you go.
DVR.
Yeah. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Every year we go to Hilton Head down in South Carolina. And every year it's our favorite family vacation because there are about 20 of us. We get a big house on the beach, and it's just in and out of the beach, in and out of the pool. We grill every day. We sit around. We talk loud. We laugh. We drink. It's a highlight of every summer.
Nice. All right. Who is now your MJ? Next question is, who was the person you'd love to interview next? Like, who is the person you're tracking down?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good question. I've been after a former President Obama for a while. He's on my list. I've got Serena Williams is on my list.
Oh, nice.
She's definitely on the list.
Got to be not just tennis player, but athletes of all time. What she's been doing is crazy.
It's funny. Jay-Z has been on my list for a long time. I'm a huge Hova fan. And I went to a sort of a meet and greet with journalists And sometimes you do that.
Yeah.
The interview subject gets a better sense. And I thought if I went to the meet and greet, he'd be like, yeah, I don't want to sit down with Craig Melvin. And there were 20 other journalists there, and I didn't get to sit down. And lo and behold, no one else did either. So I was fine with that.
The journalist in you, I love that. That's a great answer. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad. What would you want them to be?
Fun. Fair. And funny.
Nice. Great three words right there. People, make sure you follow Craig on Twitter, Craig Melvin, and Instagram, Craig Melvin NBC, and pick up his book, Pops, Learning to Be a Son and a Father. It's such a great read, and it's the fact that, you know, it combines different generations is great. So thank you again for the time. Continued success with you and your family. And again, appreciate what you're doing for work and just, again, highlighting fathers on your show. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. I enjoyed this. This was fun. Be well.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.